I'm going to ask Josh Mills to come up now. Josh works as a youth elder in our church, and he's going to tell us a bit more about what we started learning at Champions at the beginning of the week.
Hey, good morning. Hello. Hey, hands up if you like to explore places. Anyone like exploring? Yeah, we do. Where have you explored this summer? Anyone want to shout out where they've explored?
Cornwall.
Cornwall, very nice.
Scotland.
Tenerife. Wow, that's like far away. Isle of Wight, good. Lots of lovely places to be explored. Well, at the camp, what, down here, where have you been exploring? Near the beach. Oh, wow. Well, at Explorers, at this holiday club, we've been exploring this island here. You can see up on the screen. And all over the island are different places that have been taking us through the book of Mark, which is a book in the Bible. And we're learning all about Jesus and this man. And so I just wanted to spend just a couple of minutes just sharing with you some of the things that we've been learning about who is Jesus. We've had a real epic adventure as we've been exploring this place. And right, we started at a little bay called Breathtaking Bay. And if you zoom in a bit, yeah, you can see it. This is where we started. And at the start of Mark's gospel, it says this in Mark chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God." And this is what we saw right at the start. And the word should be up there in a moment. And so right at the start of our adventures, we explore this island, we've seen who is Jesus. And right at the start, he says he is the Messiah. And it says that he is the Son of God. Now let me ask you another question before I tell you a bit more about this man. Imagine if somebody came in to your workplace, or maybe you're at school when you get back to school, and they stand up at the front and they say to you, "Come on, get up, off your feet, we're going to leave. I want you to come and follow me, and we're going to go." Now, that might be a great thing for you if you don't like being where you are right now. You can go up and leave wherever he's going. And who would perhaps do that? If just someone said, if that's all they said, they'd say, "Just come follow me." Would you follow them? Well, this is what Jesus said right at the start of the book. He finds some men and he tells them simply, "Come, follow me." But what this actually means is that not just come follow me on, down the road for some lunch somewhere, or let's come around to my house and have a chat. He actually says, "Follow me, and I want you to give your life to following me, to leave your home, perhaps leave your work, to leave even your family perhaps, and to go where I go." And this is what Jesus said. Listen to these words. "As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. 'Come, follow me,' Jesus said, 'and I will send you out to fish for people.' At once they left their nets and they followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat and with the hired men, and they followed him." There's four men right at the start of this book that we explored in Breathtaking Bay that left everything. They were working, they were fishermen, they left their nets. One of them, even two of them, left their father who was working there and all their colleagues, and they got up straight away and immediately followed Jesus. Now, I think that's remarkable. If you think about that, isn't that a really strange thing to do? Someone just comes along and says, "Follow me," and they do. What sort of man is Jesus? There was no delaying. There was no arguing with him. There's no questioning. They just got up and followed him. Now, why would they do this? They left everything because they knew that this man, Jesus, has authority. There's something very important about what he says. And when he says something, people do exactly what he says. They knew that if Jesus commanded them to follow him, they had to follow. Now, can you imagine if you had that sort of authority? If you were to say to somebody, "Do this or do that." If I said to my children every time, "Tidy up," and the house was spotless just like that, I would love to have that sort of authority. Sadly, I don't. Maybe if you'd have something similar. You'd tell some people to be quiet, or you wanted something. You'd say, "Could you get that for me?" Or, "I'll need this now." And instantly, whatever you said was done. Imagine that sort of authority. Well, we don't have that, sadly, in many cases. But this one man, Jesus, did. Whenever he spoke, whatever he said happened. And as we explored this bay we found some other parts in Mark's gospel that when he spoke to evil spirits, they listened to him. When he spoke to sickness, it fled. When he spoke to whole crowds, they were amazed and were astonished at what he said. When he spoke even to death, to people who had died, they came back to life. This man, Jesus, has authority. He's an incredible man. And so we've explored over this last week some of the things that he did and the things that he said. Now, why and how could Jesus do this? Well, it's because he has power. He has the greatest power that you could ever imagine. We've just sung that, my God is so big, so strong, so mighty. Because he is the one who holds the sun in the sky right now. He's the one who gives it energy to warm us. He's the one who keeps the planets spinning around our solar system. He's the one who keeps our hearts beating. This is our God, and he has great power because he created all things. And we're going to stick a little sign here, and it says Son. At the start of Mark's gospel, it says that Jesus is the Son of God. He is God himself. And this is why he has authority. This is why he has all power. And whatever he says, people obey. And so we've been exploring these things this week. And we're going to be looking at a few more places around our island and finding out different names and titles of Jesus and what he has done for us. While we also discovered in Breathtaking Bay, we saw a small glimpse of a kingdom, of a new place, a new kingdom, a new world almost, where Jesus is in charge, where he is the king, the Son of God. And it's a beautiful place because there is no sickness in this kingdom. There's no sadness in this place. There's no more dying. There's peace. There's love. Because Jesus is there. And we see a glimpse of that. And later on this morning, we'll think about how perhaps we too can come to explore this kingdom for ourselves. But I wanted to start this morning by just giving you a little heads up. Who is Jesus? He has all power because he's the Son of God. And he's speaking to us this morning. And I hope we can listen to more of what he says to us today.
Thanks, Josh. Now, one particular member of our team this week was so enthusiastic that the children actually found it hard to drown him out. I'm not sure if you could guess who that is, but I'm going to introduce you to the man himself, Dan Hubbard. And he is enthusiasm personified. Over to you, Dan.
Thank you. I can't take much of the enthusiasm. It gets me. I find those quizzes hard when it's not my team winning. But there we go. Everyone's a winner. That's what we've seen. Well, so far, we've seen who Jesus is, that he has all the authority and all the power because he is God. And well, if that is who Jesus is, well, now we're just going to spend a few minutes looking at, well, what did he come to do? What was his mission? Well, this week at Champions Holiday Bible Club, we've been looking at a couple of stories, but one story in particular we've looked at is the story of a paralyzed man, a man who couldn't walk, and his four friends, and their encounter with Jesus. And while Jesus is at his house in Capernaum, is this coming through? Is this coming through, yeah? I was breaking, okay, there we go. Oh, there we go. I'll try really loudly. Good stuff. Brilliant. There we go. Is that better? Good. Well, Jesus is at this house in Capernaum, and everyone has come round to hear him and see him. And there's so many people that no one can get in the house. And so this paralyzed man and his four friends, well, they come to see Jesus, but they can't get in. There's no room. They can't get through the door. They can't get through the windows, if they had windows back then. And, well, they come up with this plan to go on the roof. It wasn't a pointy roof like most of our houses are. It was a flat roof. And so they took their friends up on the roof, and they tried to make a hole. And you can imagine the scene downstairs, can't you, with all of the roof caving in. And sort of people below. And all of a sudden, these four friends lower their friend down before Jesus.
And we're all wondering, we're all expecting, what is Jesus going to do? And we think it's going to be the same thing as Jesus has done so many times so far. He's healed people, that's what he's going to do. But it's a bit different this time. Because the first thing that Jesus does when he meets this man who's paralyzed is he says to him, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Your sins are forgiven. And the religious leaders who were sort of surrounding Jesus, waiting to pounce on him, were furious at him. How dare you say something like that? Only God can forgive sins. But we've seen, haven't we, as Josh explained, that Jesus is, he is God's son. He is God here. And he has the power and the authority to do that. But isn't it interesting that here before him is a man who is paralyzed, a man who couldn't walk, and yet the first thing, the biggest problem that Jesus sees with this man is not that he couldn't walk. It's with his heart, the sin that he has. Sin is a short way of remembering what sin is. It's shove off God, I'm in charge, no to your rules. And this is the biggest problem that this man faced, and it's the biggest problem that we here this morning face. Well, at the end of the story, Jesus does heal the man, and he tells him to pick up his mat and follow and walk back home. He shows his power and authority. But how is it that Jesus can forgive this man? How is it that we can sing about forgiveness this morning? Well, it all centers around the day in which Jesus died. And in one of the accounts that we've been going through, the book of Mark, one of the accounts of Jesus' life, it records the moment that Jesus died when he was on the cross. And hopefully it's going to come on the screen, just a bit of it. Mark 15, starting from verse 33. And it says, "At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" Now, can you imagine this? Jesus' followers, his friends, they've followed him around for years. They've seen him heal so many people. They've seen him be hero worshipped by hundreds that come and see him everywhere he goes. They heard him at his baptism with God saying, "This is my son whom I love." And now they see this same Jesus get beaten, mocked, spat on, people hurling insults at him, and he's hung on a cross like a criminal. And what's more, he says these words, my God, why have you forsaken me?" In other words, he's saying, my God, why have you turned away from me?" But why is it that Jesus has been God forsaken? Why is it that Jesus has had his Father turn away from him? Well, you see, Jesus was accomplishing something on the cross. You see, he was doing a swap with us. Because, you see, our sin, because of the way that we've treated God, we deserve to have God turn away from us. We deserve the punishment. But you see, Jesus, the innocent one, the perfect one, he swaps places with us. He takes the punishment that we deserve. And the weight of all God's anger at sin was poured out on Jesus on the cross instead of me and you, if we trust in him. And so that's why Jesus cries out in his final moments. He cries out in anguish, "Why have you turned away from me?" Because he's been cut off from God's friendship, relationship, and his goodness. Like a headmaster, if they invite you into their office and they give you a detention, but instead the headmaster decides to take the detention for you. Or if we do something wrong and we end up in court and we get given a sentence by a judge, the judge then deciding to take the sentence for us, to do the punishment, to do the time in our place, for him to become the guilty one and for us to be declared not guilty. Jesus has paid the price so that our sin, our wrong could be dealt with. It could be moved as far away from us as we could ever imagine, so that we can be God's forgiven friends. Well, our theme at Champions, you've probably seen it so far, has been explorers. And you know, explorers, when they went off and they searched distant lands and new lands, they had a lot of power and authority when they got to this land. And they used it for sort of selfish reasons, really. They wanted to get all the gold and the money and the jewels and the treasure. But Jesus, he has, as we've seen, he has all the authority, he has all the power, yet how does he use it? Jesus acts in complete love. Despite the fact that we've rejected him, we've ignored him, he gave his life, he sacrificed everything to trade his perfection for our wrong, our sin, to offer us a treasure that far outweighs anything. Life with him, a relationship with God, and becoming in his kingdom forever and ever. Isn't that wonderful? That's the amazing truth and fact that Jesus has done on the cross. And well, we're going to be thinking more about as the story progresses as we're going around our adventure island. And I'll hand back over to Elise to lead us on.
Great, thank you, Dan. We're going to stand and sing a song now called When I Was Lost, You Came and Rescued Me. Thinking about the state that we have been in before we have found Jesus, and then what life can be like after we find Jesus too. So let's stand if you can, and we'll sing the song together. Okay, well, I wonder if you've ever really worked out or thought about what it would mean if you just chose to follow Jesus. I wonder if that's something that you think about regularly, you've never thought about before, but what would it mean? So I'm going to ask Phil Vellacott, he's our pastor teacher and also part of our holiday club team this week, to come up and to talk to us about that just now.
Well, boys and girls, do you remember at the second to last stage of our epic explorer's journey was a place called Crown Cave. And on that last day of our explorer's club, we saw what happened to Jesus after he died. And do you remember Dan described how Jesus died to forgive us of our sin? And that death wasn't the end of Jesus. Because after he was killed, it was a very tragic day. After he was killed, he was laid in a tomb and a massive stone was rolled across the entrance to that tomb. But on the Sunday after Jesus was killed, the tomb was empty. And there was an angel there saying, "He is not dead, he is risen." And then Jesus, for the next 40 days, appeared to disciples and crowds and showed them and proved to them that he had risen from the grave, from the dead. And it tells us that Jesus is alive today, just as he promised he would rise from the dead. And because he has paid the price for our sin, we can be accepted by God. We don't need to be separated from God any longer. We can have a new life in him. So the question was, as we came to the rocky road, that was the very, very final section of our adventure island. As we came to that last day, that last question, we had to ask, well, is that the end of the story? Does it all finish there? Jesus died on the cross, he rose again, ta-da. Well, no. Do you remember we said, the reason Jesus came, we came to this rocky road, the reason Jesus came is to call us all to follow him. And the reason is, Jesus promised us that he would come to this world again, and he would rule on this world. And we can trust that because everything Jesus has promised has come true. So Jesus said he would be killed. Did it come true, boys and girls? Yes. He was killed. Jesus said he would rise again. Did that come true? Yes. Come on, let me hear it properly. Yes. Yeah, thank you very much. He said he would rise again, and it did come true. So when Jesus says he will come back again, will it come true?
Yes.
Because all that Jesus has promised so far has come true. So all that he has promised for the future will come true. And Mark 1:15 tells us we can be ready for his return by repenting and believing the good news of Jesus. This is what Mark 1:15 tells us. The time has come, Jesus said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Well, repenting means changing your attitude to God. Do you know, boys and girls, we had that message right the way through. The way we treat God now is sinful. So sin rules our lives. And sin is that attitude of saying, shove off God, I'm in charge, no to your rules. Do you remember we've said that a lot, haven't we? Shove off, do the actions with me. Shove off God, I'm in charge, no to your rules. But repenting means changing that attitude. Changing that attitude, that's all repent means. So instead of saying, shove off God, we can say, welcome God. So rather than ignoring him and living our lives as though he's not important, being a Christian means treating God as though he's welcome, the most important person in our lives. That's what it means to welcome God. And instead of saying, I'm in charge, we can say, I accept that he's in charge. So we accept that we don't get it right all the time, and we ask God, look, God, please forgive me. I've treated you so badly here. Please forgive me. We accept that he really cares for us. He's a big part of our lives. And it's really a cool thing to accept that God is in charge, because when things don't go our way or when things happen that make us sad, we know that God is in charge. And he really, 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 really cares for us. But lastly, rather than saying no to your rules, we say to God, yes to your rules. Do you know, saying to Jesus' rules means that we try to live our lives his way. He becomes our king. And getting to know him becomes the most important thing that we can do by reading the Bible, by praying, by meeting other people. Now, here we go. I wonder if you will repent and believe this morning and accept his gift of rescue. That's the most wonderful thing Jesus has come to give us. It's his rescue. And will you follow him? It's been wonderful as epic explorers to follow the trail through his life. But the final thing he asks and invites us to do is follow him. And we follow him by living our lives his way, by welcoming God, accepting he's in charge, saying yes to his rules, following his way. And that's not an easy thing to do, boys and girls. It really isn't easy. But it means making Jesus the most important person and asking him to forgive our sins every day, knowing that one day we're going to see him face to face, like we're seeing each other now, face to face. That's just the most amazing thing. And here we go, boys and girls. Last thing is, if you want to explore more things a little further, if you want to say, well, okay, all that we've studied, all that we've looked at on the Adventure Island at Epic and at Epic Explorers, there it is, get it out. Then do you know there are clubs that we run. There is Explorers, and that runs on a Friday evening. Do chat to Elise afterwards, if you want to find out about that, and mums and dads as well. If you're sat here thinking, actually, do you know, I reckon it's a good thing to explore and work out for myself. We run a Christianity Explored course, and that starts in November. Do come and chat to me if you want more details. And it's a great way to work out for yourself as to whether all that Jesus says about himself and all that he says about following his way is true. That's all that course does. I'm going to hand back to Elise now. But this is the most incredible news, that Jesus has come to invite us to follow him and to live lives his way.